Trigger warning. This podcast episode features discussions of emotional and narcissistic abuse, sexual assault, torture, and suicidal ideation. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Emotional Abuse is Real. I'm your host, Serene Leeds. I'm a professional writer and storyteller, and I'm so glad you're here. I'm so excited to share today's episode with you. My guest is Angelika Koch, a master certified breakup and relationship coach who also serves as the breakup and relationship expert for the Tammy app, an inclusive dating app dedicated to the LGBTQIA+ community. Angelika is also an emotional abuse survivor and the author of The Asshole Pandemic, a field guide to IDing, deleting, and healing from toxic relationships. But as always, before we get into today's episode, I have a few requests. First of all, please make sure you're subscribed to this podcast on either Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. Second, please follow me on Instagram at Serene Leeds Writes. That's SareneLeedsWrites. I've provided the link for you in the show notes. Another way to connect with me and this podcast is through my email list, which you can subscribe to by downloading my free resource, 10 Things I Learned from Getting Paid to Watch TV. This download is a collection of some of my best writing tips and tricks, all of which I learned from covering television. My email list is a great way to stay up to date on my latest published articles, new podcast episodes, and to connect with me if you're a business or brand owner. Did you know that in addition to my journalism work, I'm a professional writer specializing in website and email copy? Well, now you do. And if you're in the market for someone who can make your business copy sparkle, I'd love to talk to you further. The sign-up link for my free download, 10 Things I Learned from Getting Paid to Watch TV, is available in both the show notes and on my website, SareneLeedsWrites.com. Speaking of my website, are you mulling over possibly hiring me to do some fabulous copy work? Hey, that's awesome, but don't just rely on my own self-promotion. You can find several glowing client testimonials over on SareneLeedsWrites.com as well. As for the podcast, this is your friendly reminder that if you're a listener and you'd like to share your story on Emotional Abuse is Real, please don't hesitate to reach out via Instagram DM or via email at hello@SareneLeedsWrites.com. Anonymous guests are always welcome. Other ways you can support Emotional Abuse is Real include heading over to Apple Podcasts and both leaving a 5-star rating and writing a review, and by donating to our Buy Me a Coffee page, which I've linked in the show notes. As I've said before, this is a one-woman operation, and your donations help fund the podcast's production costs. If you can, please share this podcast with anyone who might benefit from it. I truly do believe that we are building a community of survivors with emotional abuse is real, and the more awareness we raise, the easier it will be for victims to come forward. On today's episode, I'm thrilled to welcome Angelika Koch to the podcast. You may already be familiar with Angelika on social media. Under the handle Nerdy Traveling Writer, Angelika regularly posts supportive, albeit raw and realistic, reels and videos that help abuse victims move from the darkness into the light. As a breakup and relationship coach who has undergone her own abuse trauma, Angelika is an empathetic resource for anyone who needs a firm and loving guide through their heartbreak. But I'm just scratching the surface here, so let's get into the episode. A quick note about two aspects of the recording. First of all, I sincerely apologize for the fire alarm sound in the middle of the interview. I live next to a fire station. Fortunately, it only lasts a few seconds. Also, I just want to clarify for listeners that when Angelika mentions CPTSD, she is talking about complex post-traumatic stress disorder. So, without further ado, here's my conversation with Angelika Koch.
Hi, my name is Angelika Koch. I am Tammy App's relationship expert, and I am a relationship and breakup coach.
Wonderful. Well, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. I am a fan of your Instagram reels and TikTok, of course. So to kick things off, you know, this podcast thrives on survivor stories. So I would love to hear your emotional abuse story and everything that comes with it.
Absolutely. So the first time I found myself in an abusive relationship was actually the first relationship I had ever gotten into. So I didn't really know what, you know, an intimate, healthy relationship looked like. I was barely out of high school. And there was this woman that just caught my eye at a bar. And she comes up to me the most charming way, funny, multilingual, spoke German and English. And since I came from a German background, that was really important for me. And she just was everything I had ever thought that I wanted in a relationship. I had no idea that this would become what it ended up becoming. So the relationship in total lasted about 4 years. Mm-hmm. And it started off with me not really recognizing the red flags. I was pretty young at the time. And she just started being a little bit mean, a little bit more on the emotional abusive side. And then it started becoming a little more physically abusive. And that ended up turning into sexual abuse and eventually led to sexual torture.
Oh,
and
dear.
It just became worse and worse and worse. And I didn't even recognize I was in an abusive relationship. I know now to me, it sounds crazy. Like, how did you not know that this is not normal? Right.
Yeah. Oh, yes, 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 yes. I mean, many people have come on this podcast who have that same reaction. And my emotional abuse situation, I tell the same story. I look back and I say, how did I stay in that situation for so long? I go back and I look at the log that I kept. I said, how did I not realize that this was not healthy? And why didn't I just bolt? So I'm here to say, I get you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of those things where, you know, when you are in it, it's so different than when you come out of it and then everything starts to settle down and you realize, oh my God, what did I just go through?
Yes.
I remember calling the domestic hotline. It was about 3 years into it. And I was like, oh, is this abuse? And mm-hmm. I told them about how my partner of the time had killed my pet and tortured my pet to death and shoved her little body in the freezer for me to mm-hmm. find. And I told them about how mean this person was to me and how they kept making me feel like I was the crazy one.
Right.
And I'm like, am I crazy? Is this abuse? And I remember the person just calmly telling me, this is severe abuse. You need to get out. Mm-hmm, and I didn't even get out for another close to a year. Mm-hmm, and that was, I got out of that relationship. Like, I broke up with my partner, but we were still living with each other. And then it wasn't until after the breakup happened that my partner decided to drive onto oncoming traffic and say, I'm going to kill us both now. Mm-hmm. And I remember screaming, please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. And she just slams her foot onto the gas and I grab the wheel and I twist it and we just spun out and ended up, I guess a guardian angel or something was watching out for me because we ended up in a parking lot, like out into a parking lot.
Wow.
And I remember my partner just repeatedly beating me on the chest, knocking the wind out of me and screaming, you just almost killed us both.
Ugh.
And I'm like, I felt like I was going crazy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with all of the abuse I had been through, I didn't realize that this had actually caused CPTSD, severe CPTSD after everything that I had gone through. And I remember feeling, touching my chest that had now been very bruised by how hard this person was just pounding on it and shaking. And then I remember her suddenly like this, becoming calm, saying, I'm so going to call your mother and I'm going to tell her that you just had a mental breakdown.
Oh no.
You just tried to kill us both. And I'm going to tell her how crazy you are and how psychotic you are. And I remember just sobbing.
Yeah.
And then we finally get back home and I run into the bedroom and I close the door and I lock it and I'm shaking. And I knew she was about to leave for the military the next day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm shaking from head to toe. I push myself against the door and I could hear the knives just clinging. And she used to chase me around the house with knives to threaten to stab me. And I remember thinking, I don't know if I'm going to survive this night. I don't know if this is my last day on earth.
Yeah.
And I remember staying up all night and then watching the sun rising and hearing her leaving. And this, it wasn't even relief. It was just hollowness.
Yeah.
Set into my core because I knew this wasn't the end, because I knew she was coming back from boot camp. And so it was a horrible experience. And that's, you know, actually the foundation of what started, you know, what I ended up becoming.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. So two questions. First, going back to when you called the domestic violence hotline and the person on the other end of the phone said, "You are being abused." What was your reaction? What, how did that make you feel? I mean, I completely understand that you still stayed in the relationship for like another year. I mean, honestly, that from what I've experienced, that's the more common step or reaction. It's, I find that it's so uncommon to hear people to just finally leave. It takes them time. Yeah. No. So what was that like when that, from when that person at the domestic violence hotline said to you, "Yes, you are being abused," she finally validated what you had been suspecting deep down.
I didn't believe her.
Yeah.
See, I had been gaslit so much to believe that I was crazy, that I was mentally unstable, that I was just this unhinged person, that when they said on the other line, "You're being abused,"
yeah,
I didn't, but I'm like, I probably didn't give the whole story. I'm probably not showing them how toxic I am. I'm probably not explaining how when I'm being abused that I suddenly snap and start screaming. So I must be the problem. I must be the toxic person. And so I just gaslit myself into believing that I was just this mentally unstable, insane person, because that's what my ex kept pounding into my mind.
Of course. All right. So she leaves for the military. What happened next?
I did. Oh my gosh, that's just the beginning of being toxic.
Okay.
I think that's the problem, that a lot of people think that when you get out of a relationship, that suddenly you're healthy, you're free.
Oh no.
Okay, that's not the case.
Oh but no.
People are under that impression. They don't realize, like, no, honey, you just had all these toxic habits. You're on survival mode. So what do I do? I find the beefiest military person I could find. And he was in the army. And I'm like, let's move in together. Like before the month like was up, he was working with me, because I thought to myself, my ex is about to come back. What if she kills me?
Right.
Like, what if she finishes the job? But even when she came back, I was conflicted because I still had feelings, because I still had the trauma bond. So here I'm conflicted about, what am I doing? Am I doing the right thing? And this other guy was just very toxic too, a pathological liar. So it's like, okay, maybe I'm the problem, because now I'm in this unhealthy relationship. I just came out of an abusive relationship. That relationship didn't last very long, but I hate to say that I used someone to escape, but I did. And
you did what you had to do.
Yeah.
Like I hear you say that and I'm like, okay. You did what you had to do. You did what was best for you. I'm sorry to that person, but like you said, he was toxic as well.
Yeah.
But it was whatever step you could take. Okay, so I get it. And then what was your healing process?
Oh, then it just went downhill from there.
Oh, okay. All right, if I'm jumping ahead, you let me know. Yeah, please, because
Then I felt like I hit rock bottom, because when I was in that relationship with that guy, I felt like I hit the lowest of the low, and he was cheating on me and lying to me, and he was gaslighting me, and he wasn't mean to me. So I'm not going to make him out to be this like horrible human being, because there was a lot of good within him.
Yeah.
He wasn't the healthiest person, you know, and that only lasted, I think, like maybe 6 months, if that. By then we had moved out and moved into this other place, and I was still scared. And then I'm like, I need to leave the state. So I ended up leaving the state. And I kept everyone at an arm's length. I became highly avoidant.
Okay.
I remember every single friendship, every, even dating people. I was like, I'm going to keep you at an arm's length. I would always say to them, don't get attached to me, because in the end I leave. And some people, that the really sweet ones that I still to this day, I struggle with forgiving myself for what I did, I would just ghost them. And they saw it as a challenge, like, oh no, I'm going to show her that if I'm there and if I'm consistent. And that's why I say, when you're at that unhealed place, there's nothing you can do. You cannot prove. Because the moment I started to realize, oh, I'm getting attached, and they did one thing wrong that I decided was wrong, right? It's all in my head.
Sure.
I decided was wrong. And it could be a simple misunderstanding. I would block them, never talk to them again, and just disappear out of their life. And they would be left wondering.
Yeah.
And I've definitely grown since then. But
sure.
I remember my moment of hitting rock bottom is being alone in my bathroom with a loaded gun in front of me and thinking, okay, I've got one of two choices. I either, you know, take this gun to my head and take care of things right now because the CPTSD was horrible. I was having nightmares. My life felt like a nightmare. Mm-hmm. I was just very toxic within by pushing everyone away. I didn't want to have an actual relationship. I was just kind of, you know, finding a casual thing here and a casual thing there. And because I was trying to take back my power, for the rape that I had gone through repeatedly for years, for the torture, and I was numb. And every casual encounter I came off of, like, or not came off of, but I was experiencing, I felt nothing. I couldn't even feel the emotion of love anymore. And it was like, I felt very limited emotions and I couldn't feel happiness anymore. I couldn't feel love. I felt no hope. And I remember thinking to myself, okay, I'm going to do one of two things. I'm either going to end my life. And I was really considering it. I was just crying and crying and crying and crying. I thought to myself, or I'm going to give it one last fighting chance, just one more, and try to become the person I need at this moment. And back then, this was, 2013, 2014, somewhere around there. And I remember trying to find someone who was self-help that was just like, hey, I'm messed up. I'm, you know, but I grew and I came out of it and there's hope and I didn't feel happiness. I couldn't find anyone. It felt like at that time, I would look for people that were flawed because everyone's flaws, but you would see this like people on this pedestal of perfection that I could never attain. And I'm like, how can I ever reach the level that these people are at? It just felt so distant. It felt so unattainable. But I decided that I would work towards the end of becoming this person that was unattainable, that I would represent a person who worked on themselves, who struggled, who was just raw and real and said, hey, I've done a lot of messed up things. I used to be pretty toxic myself, but it's okay. And in the end, you can reach healthy. You can become, you know, happy. You can find a healthy relationship. It's going to take a whole lot of work on yourself. My God, the work I put on myself, work, but all of that is attainable, even with severe PTSD. I wasn't even able to feel the emotion of love until I was 32 and I'm turning 35 this year. Or no, 33. I'm sorry. I was 33 when I felt it. And it was a platonic form of love.
Hey.
I was in relationships that I felt love for like a brief moment. So like 30 seconds, 1 minute, I would feel it and I'd be like, oh, and then it would go numb again and I felt nothing. So I did the action of love during that time, which is why my partners always said, wow, you love me harder than anyone ever has. Well, I couldn't feel it, but I could show it. And that was pretty hollow for me. But now I'm able to feel consistently, both romantically, the emotion of love, and also with my friends, who my friend JC was the first person that I felt a platonic, almost like a sisterhood with. And it was almost instant. It was this weird connection that we had. I sat by her in a plane when I decided to solo travel to Iceland. It was my first solo travel trip. And I sat down beside her. And I just felt such a connection and I started to feel a platonic sisterly love for her and it wouldn't stop. And that was weird for me because it's like, what is this feeling? You know?
Yeah. Was it scary? Were you happy? Because you that ability had been so dead inside you for so long. Yeah.
It was terrifying.
Sure. Yeah.
With other people in the past, I felt it for maybe, you know, like I said, like 30 seconds at a time. And then I would go numb for months.
Yeah.
I'd pull it again. And I'm like, oh, and then nothing.
Yeah.
Is that my life is what I always wondered. But the reason why I'm bringing this up today is because if any of your listeners are experiencing this, I was 21 years old when I left that relationship. I'm turning 35 this month. That's how long it took. And well, of course, you know, back in 2022 is when I felt it for the first time, and we're in 2024 now, but
right.
It's a big deal to be able
it
to
is.
Again. And so if you're experiencing this and listening to this and you're not feeling that emotion of love, it's okay. It can come back. You're not, you know, it's not going to be forever dead. It just takes time. Sometimes it takes a decade.
Thank you so much for saying that, because that's what I always say on this podcast. My emotional abuse story happened a decade ago. So, and it's only now that I'm able to share it and understand it. And yeah, I mean, I explained that the reason why it's taken so long is because no one wanted to hear about it.
Yeah.
No one wanted to hear about it. But what I just want to make sure that I say to you is I am so happy that you found the strength within yourself to not use the gun, and that you're still here, and that you are helping other people, and that you're here to share your story. So I just want to take that moment to applaud you for that.
Thank you.
But you're
I
welcome.
Also want to take a moment and applaud you for the fact that you overcame feeling like no one would want to hear such an important story. Your story is so important.
Thank
it's
you.
It's impactful. It's something that a lot of people out there need to hear. And even though you were having these conflicting thoughts, you decided to create a podcast and be the voice for people that feel like their voice was taken away. So a moment for you too.
Thank you. I mean, it's really because for so long, while I was in the middle of it, I actually was going to everyone I knew. I was like, are you not seeing this? Like, and I was gaslit. I was made to feel crazy. I always talk about I was constantly being told, develop a thicker skin. Oh, that's just the way he is. And it's not that big of a deal. And no one thought that what was happening to me was serious. And I went through that for years. And after years of therapy, I was like, no, I'm going to continue to tell this story because it needs to be told. So thank you. And that's why we're here. And thank you for sharing your story. So how did you end up channeling your experiences into what you do now, which is a breakup and relationship coach?
Well, I started off on Instagram, mm-hmm. and I traveled all over the world, and I was taking pictures because I love nature.
Yeah.
And I finally had felt happiness and hope in my life at that point. And I decided I want to just, I don't know, take a picture here and then write something about my own life, something that is encouraging. So if anyone passes by my photo, then they'll read it and feel a little more encouraged and be like, oh, you know, that's great. And I started building it. I only had a few thousand at that point on Instagram. And then the pandemic hit and I'm not traveling anymore. So I'm like, oh, well, maybe I'll just start creating videos on relationships. And at that point, it was already a relationship coach because that's something I love, right?
Yeah.
And I decided, okay, let me just make these videos about relationships. And then my own relationship had come to an end shortly after the pandemic. It was like 2021 when that relationship came to an end. Unfortunately, that person had a little bit of a midlife crisis and decided they wanted to explore and expand their own direction. I wish them well.
Yeah.
But it was devastating to me to be a relationship coach and, you know, be single. And I'm like, oh, God, I'm a good relationship coach. Like, yeah. I have built this platform. But then I realized I had this sort of passion for breakups because I, as a relationship coach, knew the steps that you needed to take when you were in a breakup to heal as quickly as possible, as efficiently as possible. And I knew all the ways that people sabotage that for themselves and end up extending the healing process far longer than it should. Common mistakes. And I decided I'm really passionate about helping people that are going through breakups, as well as learning what healthy is versus toxic and all of that. And that's just kind of how I created my platform. But I also wanted to take up a piece of my platform and, as an abuse survivor, just show people that are going through this, like, it's okay. I'll sit in the darkness with you. That the whole point of my platform is, let me sit in the darkness with you. You don't have to be positive. You don't have to be happy. You don't have to be anything but what you are right now. So let's sit in the darkness and let's process this together. And so that's what my platform is. It's, you know, and I've had a lot of people complain like, wow, you're really negative. And if you knew me in person, I'm actually an extremely positive person. But my platform does tend to lean more towards the darker negative side. And it's because I want abuse survivors that are in an abusive relationship to see, oh my God, this is not normal. This is abusive, which I've had so many survivors reach out to me and say, I got out of my relationship because of these videos.
That's wonderful.
Want people that are going through darkness to feel seen, to not feel shamed into positivity, which can increase anxiety and depression because they're not able to find it. And then they feel ashamed at the fact that they're not, but instead to love yourself through it, which eventually will become more positive, but you got to love yourself through that darkness. And I'm here to love all of these people through their darkness. And that's what I want to do.
You know, that's why I am so drawn to your Instagram, because my entire life, I've been confronted with a lot of toxic positivity, and it does not work for me, and it does not work for a lot of people. And the fact that you just put it into words, you will sit in the darkness with me, with whoever, that's what I've always needed.
Yeah.
And I didn't get that. I did not get that. People did not want to sit in the darkness with me, and that hurt. And I even had to say it out loud. It's like, no, this is what I need right now. It doesn't mean I will never be happy again. It doesn't mean I can't see the positive in other things. But so much of my life has been about, don't think about the negative, just focus on the positive. And that is just, I don't think that's a healthy way to live your life. So again, I am glad that that is the perspective that you're taking with your work and on Instagram. And I will tell you right now, I don't go to your Instagram and say, oh my God, she's such a downer. Absolutely not. I think that you absolutely help people to heal because you're acknowledging the pain.
Yeah. I think it's so important, and something I'm just recently starting to do is over the past few days, and I'm going to continue moving forward, is I take a selfie and then I put a little box on there and I say one thing, like, I think today was, tell me about what's burdening you. No, that'll be tomorrow's post, but I did something like something that's impacting you in a negative way for today.
Sure.
And then yesterday was positivity, like, tell me something positive that's happened, because I do want people to also look at that. And the one before that was, get something off of your chest. And so I really want people to start using my platform to vent, to get things off their chest, to just have that moment of release, because they're not getting it at home. What they're getting at home are eye rolls, are you don't matters, are you're the problem, you're too sensitive. So use my platform to get it off your chest, because you know who cares? I care. I care about what you're going through. I might not know these people on my platform, but I love every single one of them. And I want to be there for them, but I can't, you know, stretch myself out too thin, which is why I have these general posts where I'm like, just vent. I'm here.
Yeah. And you know what? In a lot of cases, that's all that we need. And no, do not stretch yourself thin, because then you're going to be no help to anyone. So what can clients expect when they start working with you?
You know, I've had a lot of my clients say to me that working with me feels like working with a really wise friend.
Awesome.
That's what they say. It feels like I'm always going to call them out. Mm-hmm. Really well. Whenever they're not putting in the work to move forward, I'll be like, what's going on? You know, talk to me. And work through that. But it's very much like, this is where you're at right now. And I see where you want to be. Let's work together to get to that. Mm-hmm. Whether that be finding a healthy relationship, whether that be getting through a breakup and not, you know, creating toxic habits on the way, whether that be getting out of an abusive relationship. So they'll work with a therapist for their trauma, and then they'll work with me for taking the active steps to leave this person and get them like mentally and emotionally prepared to leave their abuser. And so I have them do different like workbook things and things to help build up that wall to get them ready. And then, okay, let's take the steps. you know, get yourself prepared. Rent, you know, are you renting right now? Do you own a house? Have you looked into lawyers if you're married? And we're going through all of the steps it's going to take before they even leave. And if they're in a more dangerous situation, okay, have you talked to the police? Maybe have, you know, some assistance whenever you're breaking up. Do you have maybe your father that could join you so mm-hmm. that you're safe? There's another person there when you're doing the breakup. Do you need to break up through a phone call or through a text because you know this person is dangerous and you cannot be in their presence? And so we look at, okay, what's the circumstance? And then how can we move forward? And then I always, 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 always tell my abuse victims, see a trauma therapist. That mm-hmm. is so important and vital yes. for the healing journey.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you so much for laying all of that out. And the reason why I ask that is because I know a lot of people are confused, like what's the difference between a breakup coach and a therapist, and what are the different ways that each professional can help them. And thank you so much for saying that victims should also see a trauma therapist. And that's something that I'm trying to raise awareness about and express on this podcast, because you really need to do your research, because I firmly believe in therapy, and I am not a mental health professional, but I'm learning more and more from therapists that they're not all trained in this type of abuse, and that it falls to the victims to do their due diligence and find the right therapist, like you said, a trauma therapist.
Yeah, absolutely. And when it comes to knowing the difference between therapy and coaching, so therapy. Yeah. Jump into the past, into childhood, resolve that. Deep emotional wounds, that's what therapists take care of. Anything but the DSM-5, therapists are able to do that.
Yeah.
Coaching is more goal-oriented. It's, okay, what's your life looking like right now? Let's move forward towards the life you desire in a compassionate and loving way, while also having someone hold you accountable. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times when we don't have an accountability partner, we just are off to do our own thing. We don't end up doing it. But if you know your coach is going to be like, so did you do that thing?
No, it's so true. So on that note, please, by all means, because I know that this is how we were connected, I would love to hear about the work that you do with the TimeMe app. And I'm sorry if I didn't pronounce it correctly.
Oh, absolutely. So yeah. I write a lot of articles for the TimeMe app. I think it's an incredible dating app. It's much safer than most of the dating apps out there, which are kind of like the Wild West.
Yeah.
So I love TimeMe in general and what it stands for and the safety it provides the people that are on there, especially with how much toxicity is out in the world. TimeMe kind of just protects their users and genuinely cares. And so what I do for them is I write different articles for them to really get the word out and spread awareness about toxicity, healthy relationships, breakups, and all of that. And really to also give support to communities that are not as supported, like the LGBTQIA+ community. So I really love the fact that we're able to shed light on that and be such a supportive force. And of course, TimeMe is very LGBTQIA friendly. They're very diverse.
Yes.
I love that about them.
I do too. I don't know a huge amount about them. That's why I wanted to ask you. And that was going to be my next question. If they were primarily for the LGBTQIA+ community, and they are.
They're very inclusive. They're very safe.
Good.
You know what I love about the app, unlike other apps, they ask so many detailed questions about yourself and what you're looking for. There's no judgment. It's like, if you want casual, go ahead, honey. If you want a serious relationship, let's just mark the whole serious box right there. And it's just, it's very strict on their rules because they want to make sure that their users are safe, that they're not being harassed by these individuals. Whereas, you know, you go on these other dating apps, and unfortunately, certain ones do allow a substantial amount of negative things happening.
Yeah. I mean, I'm aging myself here. I actually have zero experience with dating apps. I love hearing about, because I want to be able to talk about this on the podcast because it is how we all meet people now. So, and I want to make sure that we talk about your book, and that is just another way that people can connect with you and learn your wisdom. The Asshole Pandemic, A Field Guide to IDing, Deleting, and Healing from Toxic Relationships. I love the title. And what can readers get out of your book?
Oh, they can get so much out of my book. I actually just rewrote the entire thing.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
How come?
Oh, okay. So during the pandemic, I realized that, you know, when you're under a high amount of stress.
Yes.
And your work quality is not as good.
Yes.
I feel as though I grew a lot. Number one, I grew a lot.
Sure.
During that time. During the time that I wrote it, I also started to realize that my own personal relationship was starting to struggle because the midlife crisis signs were starting to show. And I'm like, oh. So I don't feel as though it was as compassionate as I typically am. It was very blunt. It was very German, straight to the point. I grew up in a German household. So it had a lot of good content in it. But when I reread the book, I thought to myself, this isn't a reflection of who I currently am. And sure. I want to give more quality content that is more a reflection of what I stand for now. Mm-hmm. And so I rewrote the entire book. And I love about it is that it helps people to identify red flags, not only within other relationships, but also within themselves, but provides more of a compassionate approach. Like, okay, if you have red flags, that's cool. Let's just work on those. Helps you to identify what you're looking for in a relationship. The biggest mistake I see as a relationship coach, whenever someone's dating, they just hop right in. They don't really know what they're looking for, and they end up in some sort of a situationship, and it gets really muddy and complicated, and they just do a little here and there and try to figure it out. Don't wing it.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Identifying the red flags, figuring out what it is that you're wanting, looking for the ideal partner. This has like the first section covering toxic relationships and identifying those. The second section is a workbook. Because you can just read a book, but if you're not putting in the work, you're not going to go forward. So I didn't want just a book for people to read. I wanted a workbook for people to work through. So that's, you know, that second half of the book, that's really what it is. And I took it, I think it was 40,000 words. Now it's a 60,000 word book.
Oh, wow.
So not only did I rewrite it, but I added chapters and I just really made it into the book that it is now. And I'm pretty proud of what it is because of the impact I believe it will have in people, especially abuse victims that are, they keep getting in toxic relationships. They need a book written by an abuse survivor that understands what it is to get out of toxicity and what it takes to find a healthy relationship.
I'm so happy to hear that you rewrote the book and that you were comfortable and that it was something that you wanted to do. All right. So if you have the book, listeners, go out and get another copy.
I'm definitely gonna want that.
Yeah. It's the version 2.0. That's wonderful. And so, and that's available at Amazon and all the usual places. Okay. Yeah,
that is great. Available on Amazon internationally.
Excellent. Excellent. So, I'm going to go a little lighthearted here because you love to travel and so do I. So favorite place you've ever traveled to?
Oh, Iceland.
Me too.
Yeah. What was that experience like?
Well, first of all, I have not been there in 11 years. So it was, it was 11 years ago. So we went to the Blue Lagoon. So if I went there now, it was amazing. Don't get me wrong. But if I went there now, I would not go there because I know how it's become so overrun with tourists. But Iceland, oh yeah. I know we're getting off topic, people, but if you can go to Iceland, you must. Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. We were in Reykjavik and we went to the Blue Lagoon and it was just, I've never seen anything like that before. Yeah. I've never seen anything that like that landscape before, but okay. So that's my reason. What about you?
So I realized that different parts of Iceland look like different planets.
Yes.
Same planet. So
yeah.
What I ended up doing is I spent like a day in Reykjavik and then I just drove down to the southern section, the southernmost section of Iceland. And what I loved about it is they would have these like sections of moss covered rocks and then these sections of just beautiful flowers and they had waterfalls just dipping in and out of the mountains. And there was this, I remember walking, I parked at a random location where there was no one. I always would look for places where there weren't tourists. And I would just walk down. I remember walking down this steep hill and then sitting down and looking. I was in this beautiful grassy area and looking at a red volcano, which was so weird to me. Like these red mountains, like I think it was a volcano, maybe it wasn't, but it looked, it had like the flat top. So I'm like, I think that might be. And it was just so incredibly beautiful and otherworldly. And then I remember going to that, the volcanic glacier park. And I asked this park ranger and I said, okay, what's the trail? And he told me about this trail that like comes off the other trail.
Yeah.
The best views of the glacier. And I hiked that. I was out of breath, gasping for air. But by the time I reached the top, I remember just looking down and he explained to me that it was like, the glacier was, there's like a volcano there and a glacier, mm-hmm. That's why it's melting. I don't quite understand it, but it was stunning.
Yes.
It really was.
Yes. Oh, because I was so afraid that you were going to say a place that I've never been to and I was just going to have all this FOMO, but I was like, no, Iceland. Yes, I've been there. Oh, fantastic. I love it. So, all right, getting back to the topic at hand, and I asked this of all of my guests. I know that there are many people out there who are listening and they know they're in a toxic situation, but they don't know what that first step should be to whether it's getting out, healing. What would you recommend as that first step that they take?
Build a wall.
Okay.
Build a wall.
Yeah.
I had a woman one time tell me before I got out of that abusive relationship, and she's a sweet Southern woman. She said, once you get your gut full, you'll leave. And I have taken that with me for the rest of my life. If you don't have your gut full yet, you're going to end up staying because you're going to create every single reason why you should stay. Mm-hmm. But start building up a wall. So what I think is a really good idea to do is start writing down every single bad thing they do, mm-hmm. as they're doing it and how you're feeling. And then when you start to feel attached to them, reread it. Mm-hmm. Build that wall. Remind yourself that it's, you know, it's actually pretty bad. And a lot of people say, well, there's so much good. Well, yeah. And an example I use, it's a terrible example, but I still use it. I remember going to the Museum of Death, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember walking up and there was this like piece of paper written by a serial killer to his wife. And it was so romantic and sweet and so encouraging. And I always tell people that are struggling with, you know, oh, but they have a good sign. I'm like, yeah, so do serial killers, but... That doesn't mean they're not a serial killer.
And there's proof. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's great. I mean, I did the same thing. I mean, I called it a bullying log, but it was the same thing. When I started doing this podcast, I went back for the first time in nearly 10 years and I went back and I read it and I said, and that's why I left. And I can't believe I stayed as long as that I did, but definitely build a wall. How can people connect with you?
Well, they can find me on Instagram. They can find me on TikTok. They can find me on YouTube. It's all under Nerdy Traveling Writer. Mm-hmm. I have coaching by Angelica Koch, my website. They can find me on Amazon. I've got the Asshole Pandemic book. So there's a lot of little ways to reach out.
Oh, I know that there are. I always like to give my guests the opportunity to say if they have a preference, you know, if they have a preferred way of communicating or a preferred social media. So I always like to ask that question because, oh, believe me, I will be dropping all of those links into the show notes.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you for doing that.
Of course. Of course. This has been such a pleasure. Thank you so much. And really, thank you so much for everything that you do.
Thank you for having me. And thank you for creating this podcast to be
the
voice for people that are really struggling and to give them access to information they genuinely need during one of the most difficult times of their life. Getting out of an abusive relationship is the hardest thing you'll ever do because of the trauma bond, the complications, how abusers trap you. It's not so easy as just leaving someone. It is so difficult and complex. But remember, the tiny steps you take now will lead you to the exit. And sometimes it feels almost impossible to get out of it because the abuser traps you. But there's always a way. You might just have to think outside of the box and give it time. And as an abuse survivor, one abuse survivor to the other,
yeah, you
and I both know that we end up staying in an abusive relationship for far too long But that's why I always say it's so important to be compassionate to yourself, because you stayed for a reason. And a lot of times that reason that a lot of abuse survivors stay is because they see the good within someone. And that's a beautiful reflection of you, to be able to see the good within another person, despite how terribly they treat you. Yeah. But that doesn't take away from how they're treating you and the damage that's being caused. So leaving, even though it hurts, even though it feels like your soul is breaking and that your heart is being ripped out of you and you're scared and you're empty and you're feeling broken and so lost and alone and wondering, am I making the wrong decision? Your future self will thank you for going through all these struggles. Because yeah, that period of time after a breakup is so hard. It's devastating. It's just words don't even describe how difficult it is, that period of time when you're trying to break the trauma bond, when your abuser is trying to manipulate you into coming back. But it is so worth not going back, working on your healing, showing yourself compassion, and just know, like, you can become a healthy version of yourself, even if there's a period of time where you're a bit on the toxic side. That's okay.
Yeah.
You survive, and you learned things to survive within that. Just work on yourself one step at a time and you will become the healthy version of yourself, and happiness is there. Yes. It takes a little time to get to it, but you can have such a healthy and happy relationship with a loving partner.
I know that that's true, and that there are people out there who can help you like you do, Angelica. Did I pronounce it correctly?
You did. You helped so many people too. You really do.
Well, thank you again. I'm so glad that you came on the podcast. You take care.
You too.
Okay. Thank you for listening to my conversation with Angelica Koch on Emotional Abuse is Real. If you would like to connect with Angelica or purchase her book, The Asshole Pandemic, A Field Guide to IDing, Deleting, and Healing from Toxic Relationships, I've left her social media, website, and Amazon links in the show notes. If you would like to share your own emotional abuse story here on the podcast, please don't hesitate to reach out via email at hello@sereneleadsrights.com or through Instagram at sereneleadsrights. Please note that this podcast should not be used as a substitute for professional mental health services. If you are a victim of emotional abuse and need help, please call or text the Suicide and Crisis Hotline at 988 or call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233. You can also text START, START, to 887-88. Once again, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts. Follow me on Instagram. Go grab my free download, 10 Things I Learned from Getting Paid to Watch TV. And if you can, please support us through our Buy Me a Coffee page. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.